Charlie Kirk lived like a man on fast forward. 18 years old when he launched a national movement. He was in his early 20s on national radio. 31 when he was murdered in Utah. Today, who he was and what he built and why his work resonated with millions is what we're going to talk about. All right, guys, welcome back to Defining Truth, episode 60. Today's episode is going to be about Charlie Kirk. It is a sad state that we are in this country. And I know that there's a lot of anger and confusion. But today we're just going to talk about Charlie and what he did and what we do. And why we're on the same team here. A little bit about Charlie first, just in his honor. He was born in 1993 in Chicago. He dove into politics as a teenager right away in politics and organization. Those were skills that would eventually define him. At 18, alongside mentor Bill Montgomery, he founded Turning Point USA. Then at the time, just a shoestring campus outfit that he scaled into a coast-to-coast youth network. The thesis was simple: show up on campuses, argue in public, and make the case for limited government at free markets where it's often least welcome. He built more than a nonprofit. He built a media megaphone. The Charlie Kirk Show grew from a podcast into a nationally syndicated talk program with Salem Radio or Broadcasting, reaching millions across radio, YouTube, social media, etc. By 2025 this year, Salem moved him into a prime daily slot and touted his show among the top performers in conservative audio. He also authored the 2020 bestseller, The MAGA Doctrine, a book staking acclaim as one of the most influential voices to speak to Gen Z on the right. Agree or disagree with Charlie Kirk or his conclusions, Kirk was a debater by instinct, and he was really good at it. He relished the Q's and A's and the lines that formed on college campuses with students. He pushed back against what he saw as ideological capture of institutions. He created conferences that felt part rally, part ideas, part festival. And he launched adjacent efforts like Turning Point Faith, which was a faith-focused organization, or Turning Point Action, sorry, which was a faith-focused organization to turn energy into civic participation. Either way, he made the argument out loud in the open where Americans could test it. He married his wife, Erica, Erica Kirk, in 2021. They welcomed their daughter in 2022 and a son last year in 2024. Even as his public profile surged, he often said that fatherhood was his deepest calling. So what happened? September 10th, 2025, this is 2 days ago, while speaking at Utah Valley University during a Turning Point event, Charlie Kirk was shot and killed by a left-wing lunatic, no doubt radicalized and motivated by the leftist ideals that we speak against here at Defining Truth on a daily basis. Authorities described a single round fired from a nearby building. And on September 12th, Utah officials announced the arrest. That's today, as of the time of this podcast. Today, the assassin was arrested and identified as a 22-year-old suspect. We'll talk about him in a minute. Leaders across the spectrum condemned the killing, although the Democrats have been quite patronizing, using the incident as they do every innocent death and occurrence to platform on their whole gun violence lies and nonsense. On a personal note, Charlie Kirk endorsed me when I ran for Congress here in California, not Turning Point. They were very clear about that. And I'm grateful for that. Endorsement or not, what I did respect was his willingness to take on the tough rooms, to answer hard questions, to go out there on campuses like the one that he was eventually killed at, and speak truth boldly. legacy isn't only what people said, it's what they built. And I think that's what's going to resonate going forward for a very long time. He left behind a huge national student network, a daily show, a generation of young conservatives who felt seen and mobilized. And he also left a challenge for us to argue honestly, to show up boldly, to refuse violence, like what he became the victim of, full stop, by the way, and to continue the fight. Here at Defining Truth, we ask that you pray for Erica and their kids and for comfort for the country. We pray for courage with restraint and for ourselves, truth in love, like we talk about all the time, spoken plainly, live consistently. All right. So let's get into the first segment here. I'm here with Brandon Jones. Brandon, you can jump into that first segment there if you're ready.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, here's what's been verified as of the time of the filming. We're filming on Friday, September 12th at about 3 o'clock. So as you mentioned, on September 10th at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah, Charlie Kirk was fatally shot during a Turning Point USA outdoor event and was struck once and then later pronounced dead at a local hospital.
Today, authorities announced that they've arrested Tyler James Robinson, 22 years old. He's in custody, being held without bail on state counts, including aggravated murder. It is our understanding that they are seeking the death penalty in this case. Investigators cite a recovered bolt-action rifle, which we've all seen pictures of now. It's all over social media and the internet. There's also surveillance video matching Tyler Robinson. Digital communications, I believe from Discord is what we're hearing. And a family tip, which is, I haven't confirmed yet, but it sounds like it was his father that helped identify him. Motive is still developing, but we understand based on his political statements and some pro-trans, anti-fascist rhetoric that they found him already stating. So that's obviously what the motivation was.
Yes, charging and arraignment steps are underway, and we'll wait to report on those when we get the sworn filings and the official briefings as they post as to what the charges and penalties are going to be there.
So what we're going to talk about today is not only what Charlie stood for, but what does this mean for America? You know, Brandon, you and I were talking, well, we've been talking all day today about kind of the end of the line for leftists when they can't win an argument. And Charlie was a great example of this. The left in this country, we call it the left, but you could call it humanist, you could call it God haters, secular humanists, those who deny reality and truth, they really don't have, as we discuss often, they don't have logic. They don't have truth on their side. And as you debate or confront the lies coming from their side, they quickly get cornered and they feel pressure. And as we've seen more and more, the result is they lash out in violence like cornered animals. Charlie exemplified that, in that he would go from campus to campus all over the country, even internationally. We watched him recently in Oxford, and would just confront people with simple questions, simple truths, because all of the rhetoric from the left is based on lies. Not a single word of what they say is true. They draw false moral equivalents all the time, as if their ideology is somehow just the quote-unquote other side of the aisle from conservatives. It is not. They espouse an evil and dark ideology. There is no moral equivalence. It's violent. It's grotesque. And how do we love them? Because we are not the party of violence. We love them by speaking truth. In fact, the only way you can love someone is by speaking truth. And that's what Charlie Kirk did all the time. He would ask simple questions and it would completely dismantle people because they were unprepared to defend the lies that they espoused. And they killed him for it. That's the whole story. Charlie Kirk represented something in this country, even more than just Charlie Kirk, the man. He represented an ideological movement, one which there are many a part of in the conservative movement. including here at Defining Truth, in our effort to speak truth into the world and counter the lies of the world. And because he was doing that boldly and doing it successfully, they killed him. And obviously, you know, in the immediate aftermath, a lot of us, you know, I took a lot of phone calls from people reaching out to me and asking me about it and what I thought. And, you know, it can be scary to think that the left is so violent and so dark, but one thing that we cannot do is acquiesce. We cannot stop telling the truth for two reasons, because reality would betray us and we have to be true to reality. And second, because that's what God wants us to do as believers. We know that Jesus said they hated him. They're going to hate you too. And that wasn't because he was violent or because he was lying. They hated him because he told the truth. And that's what we've seen here in the death of Charlie Kirk. One killing doesn't define a country, but a pattern does. And we're going to get into that here in a second. This is a pattern of left-wing rhetoric that has created a culture of hate and violence and anger. And if you ever talk to someone who believes, you know, these things or espouses these ideas on the left, they're so adamantly ignorant, willfully ignorant, I should say, in that they actually believe, you know, that anyone who opposes them is a Nazi or hateful or violent, etc. Not a single thing that they believe is true. Charlie Kirk, for example, was not a Nazi. He adamantly opposed them and spoke against them. He was not hateful. He never said one single hateful thing. Unless you think that the definition of hate is someone who disagrees with you. That's all. That's about all you could pin on him. And yet people believe this rhetoric so much because they're inundated with it in college, universities across the country, where they are deeply indoctrinated with this humanist garbage, lies about the world, about people, about philosophy, about the truths of life. And they believe it so much that they feel like the only answer is to murder those who disagree with them. Public cues shape private boundaries. Okay, so in 2018, Rep. Maxine Waters urged supporters to create a crowd and push back on Trump officials in public spaces, okay, as an example. It drew bipartisan criticism at the time because many heard it as a green light to harass opponents. Or in 2020, Chris Cuomo was asked on air, quote, show me where it says protesters are supposed to be polite and peaceful. Later, he said he was invoking John Lewis's Good Trouble, but the clip fueled a perception, fair or not, that some media minimize disorder. Words matter, context matter, and both can be true. Brandon, what did Chuck Schumer say?
Yeah, Chuck Schumer said in response to two Supreme Court justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, that they would, quote, pay the price, a remark that the Chief Justice publicly rebuked as dangerous. You know, I want to say that in instances like this, ineffectual people aren't murdered the way that Charlie was, right? Yeah. If you look at Abraham Lincoln, people opposed what he was doing and they couldn't beat him at the ballot box, so they murdered him. Or JFK, they didn't like what he was doing, so they murdered him. MLK, they tried to assassinate Donald Trump because although they beat him at the ballot box once, they couldn't win the public for too long, and he ended up winning again, or was on the cusp of winning again, and so they tried to execute him. It's really simple. It's disgusting to me. I don't understand how anybody could justify this. It's really simple. You either believe in free speech or you don't. Full stop, end of story. If there's a but to that, or it's gone too far, then you don't believe in free speech. You don't have the right to, definitely don't have the right to murder somebody. You don't have the right to assault somebody, threaten somebody's family, destroy their property because you don't like the words that they are saving or the words that they are saying. So it's as simple as that. It's not the gun's fault. It's a matter of the human heart and what our culture is teaching our children about what is and isn't okay. I mean, this, think about this guy. He is 22 years old, an engineering student who had a full ride scholarship to university. And he bought in to the rhetoric by radical leftists in our country that if you don't like what somebody is saying, not what they've done to you, but what they say, that it is okay to stop them by murdering them. And he bought into it. And he's going to have to pay those consequences the rest of his life because he was lied to. And, you know, he's going to get the justice that he deserves on this earth. But it's really sad that at 22 years old, or as a country rather, that we are putting 22-year-olds, feeding them rhetoric that would lead them to do this over somebody's speech. It's disturbing. It's been bothering me over the last couple of days.
Well, and not only 22-year-olds, but I mean, this starts in kindergarten now, which is why public education is such a battleground for us. The immoral and vitriolic teachers unions in this country, perhaps the greatest threat to national security, these teachers unions are raising a generation of people just like this assassin, teaching them from kindergarten that everyone's racist, everyone's hateful, everyone is, they're all a victim. America must be torn down. Capitalism is wrong. I mean, not a single ounce of truth in it. But you have to understand, and I know we talk about this all the time, but let's take a step back for a second and realize all Marxists are atheists. And we need to remember that. In fact, churches need to remember that in this country. And why is that statement ideologically correct? Well, at its core, Marxism is a materialistic worldview, meaning it rejects the supernatural, the metaphysical. It does not believe in God. It teaches that economic and material conditions, not spiritual truths, shape human history, consciousness, society, etc. In fact, Karl Marx, as we famously know, said religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world. He went on to say it is the opium of the people. That's the critique of Hegel's philosophy of the right by Marx. Atheism is foundational to the assumptions in Marxist theory. Now stick with me because we're going to tie this into what's going on today culturally. Marxism doesn't just allow for atheism. It requires it. Now, this is where I want churches to pay attention here. It requires it. So it would do them well to remember when they go out and they regurgitate or repeat leftist rhetoric, and they draw a false moral equivalence between the left and right. And, oh, it's okay to be a Democrat. It's okay to be a progressive Marxist, a God-hating atheist. It's fine. We'll digest that information and take into account what they're saying while failing to acknowledge that it is a lie, that it is completely against everything we believe in this country and as Christians. Marxism doesn't just allow for atheism. It requires it. Belief in God, for example, implies moral authority above the state, and that's where they have a problem. That contradicts Marxist collectivism and control. Religion promotes values like individual responsibility, eternal reward, transcendent law, accountability. Those are all incompatible with the dialectical materialism of Marxism. In fact, Vladimir Lenin, and I quote, said, "Atheism is a natural and inseparable part of Marxism, of the theory and practice of scientific socialism." Okay, so this is what's behind everything that we're witnessing today, including the murder of Charlie Kirk. The ideology and the academia behind this progressive Marxist left-wing murderer is Marxism. It's what we're talking about. It's this vitriolic ideology to rid the world of Christianity. It's not because it's rooted in truth or because it's good for our country or good for families. It's rooted in Karl Marx and the desire to eliminate Western civilization. And how has that played out? Well, let's see. The Soviet Union, state-sponsored atheism, churches closed, clergy imprisoned. How about China? In the People's Republic of China, ongoing religious persecution. The underground church is completely banned. The criminalization and arrest and detention of Uyghurs. In Cuba, Christianity is suppressed. Atheism promoted in education. North Korea, They have the worship of the state. It's the Juche ideology. Religion is outlawed there unless you're worshiping the Kim family. So the end goal of Marxism is classless. It's stateless society in which people live by collective ownership, human reason alone. That vision does not include, I should say, does not allow for a moral lawgiver or eternal accountability or spiritual purpose. So hence, it contradicts with the very nature of humanity, because worship in the left's, you know, goal, worship belongs to the state, the revolution, or the people, not to God. Hence, humanist ideology has caused more suffering than any other movement in the history of mankind. That's not disputable. That is a fact. I love it when the humanist or, you know, those on the left try to say, oh, well, religion causes this and that. Religion doesn't even compare. It doesn't even come close to the death and suffering that secular humanism has caused, as we talk about all the time, in the 20th century alone. If you compare them side by side, Marxist principle, completely incompatible with theism, right? There's no such thing as a Christian progressive Marxist or a Christian Democrat. That is a lie. It is often repeated, I think, because Christians are afraid, or they, you know, we want to be liked by the world. You're not going to be liked. And if you're lying to people to be liked, you're not being loving. The dialectical materialism, as presented by Marx, denies the supernatural. So that's incompatible. Marxists are historically determinist. That removes the divine sovereignty. So that's not compatible with Christianity or Western civilization. The class struggle ideology treats religion as a tool of oppression. So again, we're in the way. We're an enemy to their movement. And then, of course, state authority. They make the state God, which supplants God as the ultimate authority in our lives. How does this practically play out? Let's go into here this sort of third segment, the rhetoric file, when words edge toward force. So let's look, let me kick it off here. So Don Lemon, and we mentioned before, Don Lemon, CNN, 2018, right? He said, and I quote, "The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized to the right." Okay, that, first of all, that's a false statement. That is a lie perpetuated by politicians on the left who are using race baiting and class struggle to promote progressive Marxism and what? Take power and manipulate weak-minded people. He later framed it as a fact-based statement, but blanket talk like that demonizes millions and invites escalation. What did Madonna say, 2017?
Yeah, so at the Women's March in 2017, she says, I've thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. She later said that it was a metaphor, and urged a revolution of love. This is something common with the Democrats. Right. They speak their mind, and then they are like, oh, but
it's called gaslighting.
I didn't mean it like that. When you, from a Christian perspective, you don't have to backtrack, because when you're speaking the truth, it's finite. It doesn't change.
So it's so patronizing.
So there's no, if I tell you that, Jesus died for your sins, there's no but to that. You know, it's the end of it. There's always a qualifying factor with them, or they always try to backtrack. Johnny Depp did the same thing. You know, he said that he posed the question, when was the last time an actor assassinated a president? Maybe it's time. And then the next day he called it a bad joke. Well, I don't think that the Secret Service views the, talking from a famous actor about assassinating the president as a joke. By the time he backtracked it, it was already viral. Maxine Waters, this is probably, I know these were dated in 2017, but this is probably the one that really kicked off, I would say, I don't know how you put it, the willingness to accept violence against people, is when Maxine Waters said, if you see anybody from Trump's cabinet, create a crowd, push them back. They're not welcome here anymore, right? She was talking about if you're, you know, in DC and you see them in a restaurant or something, to basically put hands on them and harass them publicly. Chuck Schumer, like we mentioned with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, you have, release the whirlwind and you'll pay the price. Kathy Griffin with Trump's severed head. apologize. But then years later, probably when Biden was president, she defended her intent, right? The Public Theater's Julius Caesar portrayed a Trump-like Caesar being stabbed on stage. Snoop Dogg's Lavender video aimed at Trump, at a Trump clown mock execution. You know, these lies and dehumanizations are accelerants, and if you preach that your neighbor is a monster long enough, someone unstable will try to prove you right with force, right? We saw this. This is a perfect example, like we mentioned with Charlie. We'll audit right-wing rhetoric. We have no problem, right? The biggest example of this is in Charlottesville. Everybody cried out for conservatives to condemn what happened in Charlottesville. Okay, no problem. Most of us did it before you asked us to.
They weren't conservatives. Let's be clear on that. Again, there's no moral equivalence there.
You know, accountability has to run both ways. But today's story, a conservative activist shot dead. While the suspect's motive is still being established, that's the point. A reckless climate helps broken people hear permission.
I mean, yeah, let's remind people here, there is no moral equivalence, okay? We don't meet people like if we were back in the 1940s and we were, you know, trying to fight the Nazis still, you wouldn't tolerate someone being like, well, okay, let's just meet the Nazis in a bipartisan area. We're both on the same sides. They're just on the other sides of the aisle. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, there's no other side of murdering innocent people.
There is right and wrong. There is good and there is evil. And I'm so sick of the patronizing and the gaslighting from the left that celebrates and laughs at the assassination of someone like Charlie Kirk and then quickly goes on Twitter and says, that was a joke. I'm just kidding. We didn't mean to. I mean, geez, TMZ, when they announced that Charlie Kirk had been killed, you could hear people in the background on live television laughing about it.
Yeah. Or how about the MSNBC reporter or analyst who's now been fired for saying, oh, it was probably just a Charlie supporter shooting off a celebratory shot. Like how
the audacity.
Ignorant. Yeah. To say that, like people don't do that.
Or let's put this one to bed real quick, because I'm so sick of hearing it. Every single mainstream Democrat went off and immediately platformed, because this is how selfish they are, about quote unquote gun violence. Let's be clear about something. There is no such thing as gun violence. That is a made up term by Marxists who hate America. There's no such thing as gun violence. Guns are pieces of metal. They are inanimate objects. They don't do anything. People kill people. They may use a gun. They may use a knife. They may use their hands or a hammer or an axe
or cars,
a car or drugs. The list goes on and on. There is no such thing. Gun violence did not kill Charlie Kirk. A raging, insane liberal killed Charlie Kirk because he believed every single thing that mainstream leftists told him. That's the difference. There is no equivalent to that. Conservatives aren't going to, you know, when there's someone who claims to be a conservative, they're immediately ostracized as lunatics, as evil, as wrong, if they're doing something wrong, right?
Yeah.
That's the difference. On the left, it's not some fringe group. This is the left by definition. Their main people, the core of their belief is based on lies and rhetoric and hate. You know, you notice one thing when we woke up this morning? Did you smell smoke in the air?
Yeah.
Nothing. No. There is no riots. There is no violence. That is not who we are as conservatives. That's not how we respond as Christians.
And I think that's what irritated them the most. When something like this happens, like George Floyd, for example, he was a criminal who evaded the police and was on narcotics and died because he resisted arrest. Summarizing, you know, they burned cities down. They looted Foot Lockers. Over an evil man. The left was so outraged because what did Christians do? What did conservatives do when Charlie was murdered? We prayed. We put out Bible verses. We gathered peacefully. I think that irritated them more than ever. You know, we support what Charlie did, you know, showing up on college campuses, taking tough questions, defending his case in the open. That's how a free society is supposed to work. As we mentioned, he endorsed you for Congress. That doesn't change our standard. You can disagree with a man's conclusions and still defend his courage. In fact, if you want a country that's worth keeping or worth fighting for, you must. I want to move into what scripture says and how we need to handle this, because there's a lot of people who have anger, you know, on the conservative side and Christian side, most of it righteously. I just want to remind people that, you know, vengeance is the Lord's. You know, this guy is going to get what's coming to him, what he deserves. Scripture doesn't ask us to make peace with lies, but it commands that, you know, we spread truth with love. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination. Speak the truth to one another is Zechariah 8:16, on and on and on. Love without truth is sentimentally, truth without love is a weapon, and Christ commands both together.
Absolutely. You can't have one without the other. In fact, you cannot be loving and not tell the truth. And that's where the left really falls short. They're all about emotions. They can't tell the truth to save their own lives, probably because they don't know the truth, or they don't like the way it makes them feel, because sometimes the truth is hard to hear. But we'll continue to do that at Defining Truth. And I think many others are emboldened by what happened to Charlie. We're going to keep on fighting. We're going to keep, and by fighting, I mean telling the truth.
Yeah, I think they're going to get the opposite reaction of what they wanted. I think I saw somewhere they just created like 12 million Charlie Kirks. You know, they tried to silence him with a bullet. And you're exactly right. We need to keep fighting, in the sense of fighting for the truth, you know, not physically, of course, but for the truth, and continue to do. I hope this does continue to create more and more Charlie Kirks, because, you know, that's how we win the battle, is by facing the enemy dead in the eyes and telling the truth, because there's nothing more that Satan hates than the truth, and the truth with love.
Well, and like it says in John chapter 8, the truth will set you free. And that's what I think the darkness hates so much. It doesn't want people free. It wants to keep them in bondage, keep them depressed and struggling and on pills and in the dark. Like we see so many in the younger generation coming up are struggling with that because of social media and image issues and identity. And that's exactly where the devil wants America, drowning in depression, and they want them isolated. See, the truth threatens to break the darkness. It breaks through all that. And sometimes you're just speaking so much truth that the enemy lashes out violently. I want to read this from Charlie Kirk before we wrap it up. This is in his own words regarding the rhetoric in our culture from the left. I posted this. You can check out the post on Defining Truth at Instagram. Give us a follow there, by the way, as well. But he posted this almost prophetically. Listen to what Charlie said. And I quote, assassination culture is spreading on the left. 48% of liberals say it would be at least somewhat justified to murder Elon Musk. 55% said the same about Donald Trump. In California, activists are naming ballot measures after Luigi Mangione, the murderer. The left is being whipped into a violent frenzy. Any setback, whether losing an election or losing a court case, justifies a maximally violent response. This is the natural outgrowth of left-wing protest culture, tolerating violence and mayhem for years on end. The cowardice of local prosecutors and school officials have turned the left into a ticking time bomb. Charlie Kirk. So, how do we deal with this? We stand firm. We don't waver. We keep telling the truth, because when you're met with opposition like this, it means you're doing something right. And so, in honor of Charlie Kirk and Turning Point, we're going to continue to do what we're doing. And I agree with you. I think millions more will continue to do that. Keep his wife, Erica, and kids in prayer. And we'll keep an eye out on the news for updates, et cetera. We just grieve with the family, and I just can't even imagine. It's unimaginable having watched this on publicly available media. But we know that what the enemy intends for evil, God will turn to good. And I'm excited to see the massive impact that this is going to have in the positive and for truth in this country. So Thanks for listening. If you want to watch the whole podcast today, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify, you can check us out on YouTube, give us a follow, and help us spread truth. That's what we're trying to do at Defining Truth. And the more that you help share and follow, the more we can do that. So help us do that by giving us a follow on X, Instagram at Defining Truth, or YouTube, Defining Truth at YouTube. And until then, we just keep the Kirks in prayer, and we'll keep speaking truth. We're not scared off by this. We're emboldened. We're infuriated in righteous anger. And this is only just getting started. We'll see you guys next time.